Welcome to another episode of Autismable Dance, Life with Autism, from a parent's perspective. With each episode, Rob and I talk with media professionals, business owners, and nonprofits to discuss what they are doing to help families get the services they need and how the public perceives autism. We also talk with other autism parents and autistic individuals about their life and autism. In this episode, I chat with Donnie Gridler, who is the Vice President of Music Education at Guitar Center. Donnie is also the President of Musicians Institute in Hollywood, California, and is the member of the Modern Drummer Education Team and frequent columnist for Drummer World magazine. Over the years, I've seen the importance of music as it relates to a person's ability to socialize and communicate. In fact, there are several nonprofits who focus in music and theater that have helped countless autistic individuals find their voice. Donnie and I chat about this and more, including his own son, who has his own challenges with selective mutism. Guitar Center was recently commissioned in a study that dove into music education and its importance, and they are doing all they can to bring this to light, and are encouraging autism and fellow special needs families to check to see if their kids are interested in music at all, and if so, see if taking some lessons at their local Guitar Center may help them pursue this interest further. Listen in. I hope you enjoy. Hey, Donnie, thank you very much for joining us on Autismable Dads to talk about music, Guitar Center, and this study that is kind of all-encompassing of about the impact of music and having a greater ability for that people come out of it, that children come out of it with a greater ability in so many different areas. Tell us about this survey and what it revealed.
Wonderful. Well, I think, you know, it really starts here at Guitar Center, right? You know, if we talk first about our culture of music here, you know, we talk a lot about the power of music. And, you know, and when we talk about this, we the power of music, if you will, you know, we talk with thousands of parents and students every day, right? We listen to what parents want, you know, students practice habits, their challenges in music, and as well as parents' concerns in terms of child development specifically, right? So we started to wonder, you know, what sort of positive impact may lessons have on kids' screen time? And most importantly, the real benefits of learning music, right? It just overall to childhood development. So that's the crux of the background. And so when we talk about that, we move into this particular research study that we have worked with or alongside, you know, researchers from the University of Georgia, Hugh Hodgson School of Music, and the University of Alabama College of Education. And what we really focused on was the development of children ages 7 to 17 and the effect, hopefully in this case, the positive effect of supplemental music lessons on said childhood development. So with that in mind, we had some select really exciting findings, right? And so a lot of positive effects, if you will. We saw that children had increased problem-solving skills after studying music. They had greater time management skills and they were able to prioritize certain more important tasks over others. And what I found the most impactful was increased self-awareness, right, of their progress, of their challenges, ways to overcome challenges. And then particularly social skills had improved as well, you know, being more verbal, more collaborative, et cetera, et cetera. So that's kind of how we were, you know, we were working towards a study and how proud we were to sort of contribute and put our thumbprint, if you will, on, you know, helping to further the benefits of music education.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at some of the numbers that the perception from parents is like 85% perceive that their child has a greater ability to keep working until they finish a task.
Yep.
And I know. That's exactly. Pretty impressive.
Well, when you think about, you know, like, so I'm a parent. I have an 8-year-old boy and a 4-year-old boy, right? And if you say to me, hey, do you want your child to, you know, be able to prioritize and finish tasks? Check. Yes. Right. Do we want them to finish tasks on time? Check. Yes. Right. I want my children to be able to welcome feedback on their work and improve? Check. Right. Yes. You know, do I want my child, you know, or children to self-monitor and limit their screen time? Yes, check, right? And do I want them to be able to, you know, learn, achieve, and succeed outside of music? Yes, check, right? So it's sort of like I almost look at it as a checklist for parents in terms of if these are the things you want from your children, there's, you know, in addition to the other extracurricular things that they're doing, right? Music is a great contributor to that, whether or not you want to be the next Pavarotti or Eric Clapton, or you just want to be, for lack of a better term, a productive member of society and contribute.
Right. Now, one of the things, you know, dealing with the autism community that I've discovered is that music is universal. I mean, you take, for example, the blind autistic individual on America's Got Talent. I mean, the fact that he was blind and autistic was just an added bonus, but he ended up learning music, piano, and he just went with it. What tips or guides that you'd probably be able to suggest to encourage parents to maybe possibly look into getting their kids possibly interested in music or seeing if they have a musical interest in going down that road.
Gotcha. So, in terms of seeing if they have a musical interest, I mean that's the same for any child, autistic or not, or children with anxiety disorders, or those that, you know, are nonverbal. I think the first part is to introduce the option for passion, if you will, meaning, you know, put a inexpensive instrument in front of them, and do they gravitate towards it? Right. So in that regard, it's like show them an instrument. Do they gravitate towards it? Is there a interest? Right. So for my kids, and my one of my sons has selective mutism, and it's a anxiety disorder. And so same thing, you know, leaving instruments around the house, little things, taking them to concerts, right? Introduce it as a passion. Do they gravitate towards it? And if they do, then that's where, you know, my advice would be to start them off slow, you know, for success. I don't think it has to be full blown. Hey, we're going to enroll you in a music college. You're going to get a bachelor's degree at 18, right? Like, I think it's more of, hey, you know, let's sit down in front of this keyboard, you know, do one lesson with a teacher. Do you like it? What do you like about it? What do you not like about it? You know, et cetera, et cetera. And I would just encourage parents to stick with it, just like they would with their kids with any other subject. I'm sure when children, you know, start, you know, hey, I'm gonna play sports. You know, at first, you know, there's a little apprehension, then we work past that and we see if there's a passion. So I think that's the first portion before going into all the matters of actually studying is, do they gravitate towards it, right? And most importantly, does it put a smile on their face, right? And then when there's a smile on your face, then you can go down the more analytical route of, you know, here's steps 1 through 99 to study music. But I think they're the passion, the smile, and I think for parents, right, we have to remember, and I put myself in this bucket, that music is for enjoyment. You know, it produces joy first and learning second, right? And then the more you learn after that, the more joy it produces, right? So it's kind of like chicken or the egg, right? Which comes first, the learning or the joy? And once we get past that riddle, then, you know, I can help parents with, like, okay, here's how you start lessons, here's what instruments are good for certain kids, et cetera, et cetera. But I think that's the first portion.
Is there a particular instrument that you would probably suggest that might be a couple of starters, you know, to kind of test this as far as inexpensive instruments?
You know, I don't think that there's one in particular. I think it's whatever the student, you know, in this case, we'll call the learner the student for a moment, whichever they gravitate towards or what they have an interest in. Or that sounds great, right? You know, just with any kids, you know, I can tell you with my children, all right, let's try guitar. Well, I don't want to try guitar because you suggested it. But if I give them, you know, an option of five, right, and they just walk over to it, well, then that's the big deal. So I would say you can start with the popular ones, right? Your guitar, bass, drums, keyboard, or piano, right? So it doesn't have to be the full grand piano in mom and dad's living room, right? Like a small keyboard And then there are going to be some that want to sing. And remember, singing is an art form, and the vocal cords are an instrument as well. So I would say that there's that. And then, you can delve into the other ones. Like, you know, I see a lot of young kids now wanting to learn DJing and beat making. And, hey, I've got a laptop and I've got GarageBand. I think the lever, if you will, to learn music can be any of those things, whether it's GarageBand on a laptop or a guitar or a drum set. I think it's like just getting them into loving learning music, and then you can swap out all those other items.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to pause for a moment for a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Wonderful.
All right, we're back. I'm speaking here with Donnie, the VP of Music Education at Guitar Center. So you were talking about your son briefly, you just mentioned it briefly, that he has selective mutism. And did music have an impact of helping to help him express himself in that area?
Most certainly. So, you know, it's slightly different from autism, but selective mutism is an anxiety disorder where in social situations where they're comfortable, like they talk like any normal individual. And then in other uncomfortable situations, signs of stress make them nonverbal. So I will tell you that with my son, all of the above, right? Music in particular has given him confidence to participate more in school and become verbal with a subset of his friends, which has been wonderful. And I would put other things into there too. And I would say that music and other things that he's progressed through in terms of this have given him the confidence to work past those challenges. So in that regard, it's like, yes, you know, music enhances, you know, fine motor skills, it prepares the brain for achievement, it fosters working memory and vocabulary, right? Cultivates critical thinking. And then the one we often leave out, which I mentioned before, was joy. Mm-hmm. Right? It gives a high amount of joy. But I think also when you learn something that you're able to do, you also have confidence. And that cannot be overlooked in terms of building today's youth, whatever the challenges may be. So if I have a challenge in learning, or I have a challenge in being verbal, or I have a physical challenge, whatever the case may be, right? I have something that I'm good at that's only mine.
Right.
And I think that's the real power.
Yeah, I think I know... I know for me, being a part of like middle school band was a big benefit for me. I played alto saxophone, and that was a huge benefit for me because it helped me work with other people and helped me, you know, collaborate, interact, build some social skills there. And it helped me personally on that level. And I know you've been around the world. You've done a lot of stuff. So, you know, with your resume, Guitar Center just happens to be the next stop for you. Where do you see yourself as you move forward with helping Guitar Center in this avenue, trying to promote education?
Oh, wow. What a deep question there. So, you know, as you said, right, music, you know, it does everything from prepare the brain for achievement through to enhancing collaboration, right? You saw firsthand how collaborating with others helped you in your life. And I would say it's the same for myself as well. And so I was extremely lucky and blessed, whatever term you want to put in, that, you know, I had a life in performance. I had a life with bandmates. I was able to travel the world sharing my music with others. And then I went into a life of teaching in higher ed and running schools, and now I'm at Guitar Center. And I will tell you that my passion at this point in my life, having a few gray hairs, more than a few at this point, my passion is really enabling others to learn the joy of music and having those positive effects transform their lives. So my goal is to stay at Guitar Center and, you know, educate as many people about the benefits of music and get as many children and adult learners into learning music, right? I want to preach sort of what I lived, which is, you know, music helps you in a whole host of other ways outside of music. And so my goal is to have as many people learn music is possible. So, you know, I don't know if you can put a number on it, but you know, I want to have a million kids learning music in Guitar Center or otherwise, right? To where they can, you know, where they learn about the joys of music, the benefits of music, they stick with it and they have productive lives. So, you know, as I'm older, I'm now a father now, that's really what I think the pleasure of this particular post at Guitar Center is about.
Now where, now Guitar Center, of course, it's, we have a couple over here in Virginia. We have a bunch over here in Virginia. We it's all across the nation here in the United States. Where specifically, I mean, I'll share the link of where we can be able to point people to Guitar Center and to get lessons and things, you know, in that regard to help this effort.
So I think, you know, if there's anyone that's interested in more information on Guitar Center, right, just go to guitarcenter.com. There's a drop down for lessons. But I would say anyone interested that wants to see, you know, what we do firsthand to enhance music education, on the, you know, sort of on the third Saturday of each month, we have open houses where we invite the community in and they can have a free, you know, kids and adult learners can participate in a free guitar class, meet all the teachers and just kind of bring their instrument in and learn a little something. We call that an open house. We have those on the third Saturday of every month. So right now that would be October 19th, November 16th, December 21st, or January 18th. And I think so that's a great time just to meet the Guitar Center in your local community. We have 283 or so lessons locations that you can come visit. And then in addition, if you feel that, you know, you want to study music with anyone, you know, we do have, you know, gifts of lessons for the holidays where if you purchase three lessons, you get the fourth free, you try it out. And, you know, we're just trying to get that message out that you can come visit us anytime. And we want to welcome you in with open arms to learn music with no strings attached.
Oh, that's cool. So you'd be able to just kind of test the waters to see if it's something that, you know, if you're trying to get your kid to check it out and see if there's an interest there, that would be a good time to do it.
Exactly. And you're going to be around a whole host of other people that are there trying it out too, right? So it becomes like, I go to these all the time, and it becomes like a community within a community. Like, oh, I don't know. I you know, I'm kind of scared to get started. Well, hey, I'm trying it here too. Well, maybe we can both pick up a guitar and, you know, there's 30 of us in the free class, or 15 of us or 10 of us, whatever it is. And we're just like, you know, we're going to play some right notes and some wrong notes together.
Right. So it doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to, you know, see what's going on. If after, probably because we're dealing with, you know, sensory issues for some mm-hmm. people on the spectrum, mm-hmm. probably it's one of those things that would work well. And I'm just thinking out loud here, it would work well for, you know, HFA, high functioning autistic individuals who have reached a level to where they're comfortable to be in a setting with, or there's a lot of people.
Most certainly. And what you can do as well, we do this for some kids too, is on those open houses, you can also book like a short 15-minute, what we would call a jumpstart lesson with a teacher. So for those that aren't comfortable being in a large social setting, you can have a little individual evaluation. Is this right for you? You know, I think, you know, and going back to what you said before, like, it doesn't have to be perfect. It shouldn't be perfect, right? We're all learning music. Right. That's why it's practice. Right. So again, it's really just about the joy of playing and learning music. And sometimes perfection comes and most of the time it doesn't. And that's, you know, but what you really want to come is the joy and the smile on everybody's faces.
Right. You want it to be an enjoyable experience for all involved.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, the way I always try to explain it to those that are on the fence is, you know, do you remember the first song that, you know, for a parent, right? Do you remember the first song you danced to? Or do you remember the song playing at your wedding? Or do you remember the song when you got your first job, right? Well, now imagine a world without music. Like, you didn't have any songs to trigger those memories. And then if you say, okay, and then if you say you're not okay with a world without music, then isn't that exactly what we want to give our children?
Yeah.
Right. We want to give them that opportunity of, wow, you know, this particular song, whether you play for a month in your whole life or you play for 40 years, right? You're still going to have that same like visceral reaction after learning a little bit about music, that it's going to stick with you. And I think that's the message, right?
Hey, you got me psyched up. I'm going to have to check out my local guitar center.
Please.
Oh my goodness. So much more. I'll include a lot of this into the show notes, as well as a blog post. So I really appreciate you taking the time to chat with me today.
And, well, the pleasure is all mine.
And seeing what we could be able to do to encourage the autism community to check out Guitar Center, to see how we can be able to bring music and bring some smile on some folks' faces.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for having me today. And thanks for all your listeners for tuning in for this particular topic.
Thank you very much, sir.
Of course, likewise.
This week's podcast was made possible due to our Patreon supporters. If you'd like to help support this podcast and our efforts with Autisable, please consider becoming a patron. A special thank you to the following top supporters for this week's episode: to John, Daryl, and Linda. Thank you very much for your support. I appreciate our guest for answering several questions, and it's always a joy to talk with other people who have such an interest in the subject of autism. If you'd like to continue this discussion, please feel free to join Autisable.com and share them. You can also follow us via social media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. As a reminder, this podcast is available on Spotify, Google Play Music, iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn, and many others. Don't forget to rate, comment, and subscribe. Until next time, I'm your host, Joel Manzer, and thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode of Autisable Dads: Life with Autism from a Parent's Perspective.